Hi, I'm Dave.
And I'm Paul.
And we're going to challenge you to transform your financial future through the principles of the most profitable business in the world, banking.
We believe everyone should be involved in two businesses, the business that you're in and the banking business. Everyday people can replicate what bankers have been doing for centuries to leverage capital and build wealth through private lending.
Join us as we uncover the truths about money, expose lies and myths, and flip conventional financial advice on its head. Here we go.
Paul, good to see you, man. How you been?
Good to see you. Been well. Tammy and I have been doing SFL TAP this week, which is Soldier for Life Transition Assistance Program. I'm sure the Air Force.
That sounds like a tattoo. Do you have a tattoo that says Soldier for Life?
I don't have any tattoos.
Imagine that. You made it a whole career in the Army with no tattoos, huh?
Yes. Yeah, I did. Yeah, it's kind of rare for people our age, our generation. I feel like when we were in high school, it kind of became a thing.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, no tattoos. But anyway, sat through the financial class the other day. And, you know, these people are contracted to teach whatever, and they've got, they have some credentials, but not really certified financial counselor or something. And,
right.
And of course, when it came to the life insurance slide, there was not much to be said. Other than don't let the agent sell you more than you need. And I was like, or, you know, whatever. And of course, my head's exploding and I'm just sitting in the back like, all right, rolling my eyes. But anyway, they do the best they can. But I really think they could do better.
Yeah, I experienced the same thing. And I made a couple comments during one of those briefings and then talked to some people during the break who came up and they're like, hey, I'm glad you made that comment that I never thought about that. You know, like, hey, get life insurance before you go through the VA and get wrecked.
Right.
So as we've seen many times.
Make yourself uninsurable.
Right.
So luckily the guy that's sitting next to me maybe, and he might start listening, or he is listening now. He might hear this episode here at some point, but just been talking to him and showing some things. And again, once you read the book and listen to the podcast, I think it becomes fairly obvious.
Yeah.
You need to do something. You know,
yeah.
Whatever that is.
So, right.
Anyway, it's been fun just spending time with Tammy, though. I'll tell you that. Just it's been nice not going to the office, just going to that with her. And
yeah, because you guys never get to work together, do you?
No.
Yeah, that's cool. Nope. Yeah, and then you'll go, you know, by next summer, you guys will be around each other 24/7.
Yeah.
Better find some hobbies.
Oh, so... We're in the Department of Labor job thing and resume writing and how do you search for a job, you know, all this stuff. And so she's on this website. There's an occupational nursing job right down the street from where we're going to move at the company that just moved out of Massachusetts, had been there since 1852, Smith and Wesson.
Smith and Wesson is an occupational nursing job?
Yeah, it's supposed to be some sort of like, yeah, I don't know. I don't understand the job really. I was kind of reading the description, but it's pretty interesting. It's almost like sort of safety focused and procedure focused. So I don't know, but she'd be qualified for it. Employee discounts.
Yeah, there you go.
Sign me up.
Yeah.
Anyway, all right, too much baloney.
Stop that arsenal. All right, well, let's get to it. So we went through a couple YouTube comments. And we had another one. I think it was kind of build on one of the previous questions we talked about, like home equity and things like that. But so we got, he wrote in again and said, I spent so long with Mr. Ramsey that I have a house that I own free and clear. Well, congratulations. Yeah. So that took a lot of hard work. My original question could have been framed as, how do I get home equity into my own banking system? So where would you
start
with
that? Is this Matt?
No, it's John.
John. Okay.
Yeah. So.
Okay. Well.
How would you start with that one?
I guess the obvious way is to sell the thing, sell the house.
Sell it. Cash out, man. That's a nice net profit.
You know, but.
Tax free.
But if you need to remain in the home to live, that's not helpful. So I guess the other thing you could do, we've addressed the HELOC thing, right, Dave? I don't like that. I don't like the HELOC thing. And even if you can get one, you should go get one. If you can have one to have as kind of like a break glass fund, that's fine. But I don't like these people that are out there. The people are fine. I don't like the strategy out there where it's like, yeah, get a HELOC, take a max loan against it, you know, leverage it to the hilt, and then dump that all into a policy in year one as PUA premium or something. I think
it's basically like premium financing.
It's premium finance. It's exactly what it is. It's premium financing.
Yeah.
Which is an IUL, UL thing, kind of. So I don't like that either.
Right.
And then the other way, I guess, cash out refi. Now, it doesn't make much sense to do it right now. Maybe you're at 2.75 or 3.5% mortgage rate for 30
or zero.
No, he's paid for. Or yeah. Zero. I guess. Yeah. So in this case, your house is paid for.
I don't know.
Is that money better in your own pocket or in the house? I don't know. Only you can answer that with your personal situation. 7% mortgage rate, which again, it's just higher than what we're all used to, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not high though.
And you don't necessarily need to refinance the entire value
right.
of the home, right? So
yeah.
Maybe you just want to refinance some of it, put that money some to work, building equity in something else. As well, like a properly designed whole life insurance policy. So my favorite place to build equity.
So. The best place to store home equity, though, for sure. And yeah. And he knows that. So I think that's we don't get too many Ramsey people as clients, I would say.
Yeah, there's some converts though.
Who there's some
who started
converts,
there,
though.
Which it's a good place to start. Terrible place
no
to
question.
Finish.
Right,
but good place to start.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, now we've got a little IBC in action comment from a listener, Anthony, who says, I guess on one of our podcasts, we asked a question, where else can you get back double the money in a year or less? And we were talking about as your policy matures.
Yeah. Mature premium.
You pay your premium. Policy. It's going to create $2 for every $1 premium. So
right.
you double your money that year. And he says, back in 2022, I bought a mobile home for $9,000 and 3 weeks later sold it for $27,000. There were multiple offers and I took the highest. There's lots of good opportunities for one who has the cash. That's awesome.
Yep.
That's great, man.
Responded to that comment on YouTube and that was great. Yeah, it's phenomenal.
Yeah, there are lots of opportunities.
I think opportunity abounds and opportunity was plentiful in that kind of 2 year span where things were just kind of artificially crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it is artificial. That's a great word.
Yep.
All right. Now Ron wrote, I think we were talking about it. We were commenting on the hater that we had. Talking about, the only people who pump whole life insurance are agents because we have a vested interest because we get paid. Ron wrote, I think the criticism of payment for services, at least as far as a service or product such as life insurance, comes from a lack of understanding of its value. Most people see life insurance as an expense they would prefer not to pay, much like any other type of insurance. I have to have this thing, even though I don't really want it, so I'm kind of mad about having to pay for it. Once you understand the value of a thing, you become much more comfortable paying for it. Until then, anyone selling something someone needs but doesn't want is perceived as taking advantage of the need. Now, I would agree that life insurance is something people need. But have you ever had anybody come to you specifically asking for life insurance? Hey, Paul, I need life insurance, man. I mean, maybe somebody who knows you sell life insurance, right?
Right. Normally it's through the lens or through the avenue of the infinite banking concept, right? That's how they're coming to me. Even people that I knew.
Right. Yeah.
It's rare to just do a convertible term or a straight whole life policy or something. We don't get too many of those.
Right. And does everybody understand that you get paid for your services?
Yes. Okay. Although at the beginning, they're unclear of how I get paid because I've actually had people say, how do I pay you?
Right.
For your, the 2 hours that you just spent with me talking and talking about your finances or talking about whatever, you know, I've had that question. And I was like, well, you don't pay me. I get paid if you buy life insurance. So yes, yeah. You just got 2 hours of my life for nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm glad to do it. Right. I like it.
I met with somebody in person, and after we talked, he tried to hand me cash just for my time, which was a really nice gesture.
Sure.
Like, I appreciate the gesture because you're showing me that you value my time. So thank you, but no, like, I'm not going to take your cash. No, the only thing you'll ever pay is premium. And I've never had, you know, I like that. If we can create value for you, if we can create a scenario for you that works well for you and your family, do you care how much, the company pays me? You know, why would you? If you like your scenario, why would you care how much I make? So yeah. Plus we're all capitalists here. You know, we all believe in working, providing value and getting paid for it. So, and you know, what Ron's comments actually goes back to an episode we just recently did calling, you know, titled, is life insurance, whole life insurance premium, an expense or an asset? So that's a big mind shift that
it is.
That listen to that one. If you still have that feeling that, man, this is an expense, I don't know how I'm going to do this and pay all the rest of my bills every month and have money to have fun and entertainment and go on trips and all this. Like, just listen to that. It's not an expense. It's an asset. And every asset that you ever work for, anything that becomes an asset, takes some sacrifice in the beginning. You know, you got, you know, put some skin in the game, and then it becomes an asset, and you know, it's something you'll thank yourself for later on.
Yeah. The gentleman sitting next to me, I let him read my Facebook post from the other day where I was kind of laying out what one could do with like a pension and paid as premium and how much passive income tax-free that you could take off a policy later in life when you really need the money. And, you know, I think I piqued his interest for sure. Cause it's not something that is ever taught. Even those, you know, quote, you know, professional, finance people briefing a class full of 50 plus people, you know, colonels, majors, lieutenant colonels, senior non-commissioned officer types of all the services, Navy, Air Force, whatever. They're receiving the information they could get off, you know, Dave Ramsey's website or something. Like, right. not great info.
Right.
Right.
Again, good place to start, bad place to finish.
Yeah.
So, all right, well, let's talk about something that has resonated with us pretty closely over the last year with something that we were involved in, but the value of creating friction between you and your capital. Like, you know, we talk about you want liquidity, right? You want the ability to access capital, and that's great. But what's great about the way Infinite Banking operates and is there's a little bit of friction between you and your capital, right? Sure. It's not in your pocket ready to just pull out and throw at something. There's a little bit of friction, and we want to talk about why that's a good thing, you know? And so mechanically, what is that friction between you and your capital when your money is in cash value inside a whole life policy?
Yes. So your life insurance contract is not a bank account. It's not something that you can just immediately go to the ATM and pull money out of the machine and cash, right? There's a process. Some companies, there's a piece of paper you have to fill out and send in. With some companies, if you joint own a policy, there's a piece of paper that you have to send in to get to the equity or the cash value of the policy. For, I think, a lot of the companies that are used to practice the infinite banking concept, you can log into your client portal, request policy loan, and in a few days, you can get to the cash is direct deposited or they send you a check. So that whole process of going through that, there's some pause there where you have time to kind of evaluate, is this really, because the alternate use of that money always has to be considered. Nelson talks about that in the book. It's opportunity cost. Is this thing I'm about to do with this an opportunity? Is it a good opportunity? Great opportunity? Is it a once in a lifetime opportunity? Or is it just something that I see all these other people doing and I want to be part of it because I feel like I'm missing out. I have, you know, FOMO when it comes to investing. And I think that that pause is important because it over time, especially as you mature in this, it makes you a more deliberate actor when it comes to deploying capital.
Yeah, that tactical pause, we could call it. You know, so give yourself time to regroup and think, is this really the best use of my capital versus other opportunities that are out there or may be coming my way? So creating that friction is good. Without friction, it makes me think of one analogy that comes to mind is like driving in the snow. So, mm-hmm. you know, just like this last winter, I was in my truck and it was going up a hill. So, you know, you got gravity helping you slow down too. But I was at the top of this hill, there was this four-way intersection and I was in the right-hand turn lane and I started making a right-hand turn. I kept sliding through like into the intersection, into the oncoming lane. I was real close to going into another car in that oncoming, the lane there. And it's because I had my foot on the brake. The only way I was able to get out of that slide was releasing the brake, letting the tire grab any friction it could find to steer me in the right direction. Right. And that's exactly what, to me, having that friction in place between you and your money has done for me. When there's no friction, when it's in a bank account and I can access it instantly and send it somewhere, same day, I can wire 50 grand over to an opportunity because somebody told me about it today and I need to seize it right away, I make mistakes. I have my foot on the brake sliding through an intersection and I'm going to crash into a car, which I've done because I didn't have any friction between me and my money. When it's at the insurance company, there is that. You got to let your foot off the brake to grab that, let that tire grab that dry pavement and jerk you around to a different direction to keep you from running into things. And that's what it does to me. It's an extra layer of effort that I have to go through to access it. And I have to wait a couple of days for it. And
yep.
That's kind of like, you know, you go to the mall, you see something you really want. Some pretty good advice is, hey, wait 2 days and come back. And if you still want it 2 days from now, then buy it. Right. So it's not an impulse purchase. And 9 times out of 10, maybe I don't go back and get it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think we've both evolved over the years on this just because, you know, we're getting older. We're, you know, we're in our mid 40s now. And, you know, you only have so many years to recover from a mistake. You know, financial mistake. You know, the older you get, the less time you have to recover from that mistake. So, yeah, I like this way of thinking now is that, and I've said it many times, we've said it many times, is folks, focus on what you're good at. Doesn't matter what it is. Blue collar, white collar, business owner, employee, doesn't matter. Focus on what you're good at and focus on doing that. Your policy is being, you know, administered by a, you know, reputable, very old mutual life insurance company. And that policy is going to do what it's going to do, and it's going to do well. And you should be happy about that. This isn't to say don't do anything else, don't invest in the stock market, don't invest in real estate. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, don't rush to failure, I would say. Be diligent in what you do. Right. You can find out, you can Google almost anybody now and find out if they've been involved in, like, let's say a bad business deal. Mm-hmm. You can find the case file out there or verbiage on it. Right. So yeah, Dave, I agree wholeheartedly with you. It's especially as time goes by, I'm more and more content just paying meaningful premium, you know, across these 7 policies, soon to be 8. I'm content doing that. And then when that like black swan event happens and there's a great opportunity, and I know it is, I can take advantage with more capital because I haven't been just baited by all these kind of just mediocre opportunities that everybody else is sliding. You know, they're with you in that truck and they're just sliding in the wrong direction into oncoming traffic when they could be just, hey, just let your, you know, just feather that brake or let it off and you'll gain some grip.
Yeah.
And we want to go in this direction and you can save yourself by doing so. So anyway,
so it's, what I heard from you is that maybe instead of diversification with your money, how about concentration? Concentrating,
yes, laser focus,
but concentrating your capital in a single direction. For us, we concentrate our capital first into life insurance premium, and that creates the cash value. And then from there, I could diversify into a bunch of different things, but I'm not very knowledgeable on a bunch of different things. So the best thing I can do for myself, which is really going back to Robert Kiyosaki, Rich Dad Poor Dad, is the risk of any investment is your knowledge.
That's what you know.
Yeah, invest in what you know. You don't, you know, if you're trying to know 10 different things and be an expert in 10 different things, you're never going to be an expert in one. So pick some things that you naturally gravitate towards, focus on that, and just get really good at what you do. Like you said, that was some of the best advice ever is, hey, just be good at what you do. Double down on what you're good at making money in whatever field, profession, hobby, whatever that is, double down on it, be really good at that. And then you don't have to go out and take risk with your money to make it grow. You won't have that like urge and drive to, I got to make this count. I got to grow this money as much as possible. Oh man, protect that money. And just wait, be patient.
That's right. You know, and everybody wants, you know, they want to make as much money as possible. And if they can make it easily through other people's talents, that might be something that folks want to look into, but it may not be. You better darn well know who you're deploying your capital to, and who they're involved with. Right. Because anyone can put together a pretty PowerPoint slide deck and say, hey, based on these numbers and these interest rates and this pro forma and these rents or whatever. And I'm not picking on real estate people. Just an example. It could be anything.
Yeah. But real estate people are a pretty easy target.
They're an easy, you know, yeah, they're an easy target.
Because, and, you know, all their pro formas were based on, you know, this is the interest rate we're paying on the loan. It's going to stay like that forever. This is the appreciation. This is the NOI. And then all of a sudden, you get to a market where maybe you can't sell it for the big profit you wanted, or maybe you got to refinance and interest rates just tripled.
Yes. And before we hit record, Dave and I were talking about this, one of the, you know, I think it's the second largest REIT in the US, S REIT, is possibly in trouble. And again, just something I watched on YouTube, and a lot of people are requesting their capital be returned to them. And, you know, they listen too, right? And interest rates are high and things are being refinanced that were financed in 2021, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And rates are way higher. So those deals don't look as, they're not performing as well as they originally thought. So anyway.
Now it's like a bank run. Everybody's running to get their money out. So,
and that's what brought down like Lehman Brothers, right? They ran out of cash. All these, you know, financial geniuses are all leveraged to the hilt. They don't control the banking function, right? Somebody else does.
Right.
But they don't. And now they're all going to see like, yep, we were amateurs, weren't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So there's some other advantages to having that friction between you and your capital, especially with, whole life policies, is that it's kind of out of sight, out of mind, right? You don't just log into your bank app when your paycheck was just deposited. And you're like, oh, I have this much money. And oh, there's my savings account right there. And I got that lot of money right there. You got to actually like log into a separate company's account to see your cash value there. And it's, you know, it's not something you stare at every day. So right. It's
apparently I needed this.
Yeah, that was funny. Anthony just popped in and handed you a phone.
Thanks, buddy.
Yeah. But you know, that's been really good for me. It's out of sight, out of mind. I know it's there, but I don't look at it. I don't care to look at it because I know it's just going up in value.
Right? That's right. You know, and the more mature the policy, the better the current performance on a policy that's 10 years old is very good. You know, that might be a buck and a half of, you know, for every dollar in premium you paid, you might throw off a dollar and a half of cash value that year. That's good.
Yeah.
Now, it took you some negative years to get to that point, but who cares?
Yeah, you're going to get that money back.
Right. You're not paying tax. There's no tax in this money. There's no tax in the growth of the money. There's no tax on the death benefit to your beneficiaries and the income tax.
Which it's out of sight, out of mind to who else?
Other people.
Yeah,
like other three-letter agencies.
Three-letter agencies. Like, it's out of sight. Everything you
earn. Because it's not technically your money.
Right.
Unless you surrender the policy or withdraw, which is silly to do. But
yeah,
it's the equity. Life insurance company's money. So yeah. It's great.
What you have is equity. Good. Yeah. So yeah, it's phenomenal. So, I mean, I even have a firsthand story from a client who had a run-in with a three-letter agency a few years back and, you know, was forced to essentially liquidate pretty much everything he had to get out of the trouble he was in. The only thing that this agency didn't come after was his cash value.
Amazing.
It's pretty amazing. And, you know, he was like, I can't tell you, that was the best thing I ever did for myself and my family, was open this policy and put in as much premium as I could at the time. And now I've got some cash value in there that's going to help me kind of, you know, weather the storm a bit. But other than that, they came after everything. So, you know, that it is state dependent. Every state kind of has its own rules on who, you know, how your cash value is protected, how long it has to be there for it to be protected and all of that. But man, I tell you, what a great feeling of security knowing that, you know, I feel pretty confident about nobody else getting access to that. So it's just one of those additional living benefits that people don't think about.
You know, I was reading Nelson's book today, because in the class I was in, I didn't really have to pay attention because it's one of the required classes, but it doesn't really apply to me. I'm not searching for a job. I'm not applying for a job. I don't need a resume. Thankfully, because, oh my goodness, it seems like a big pain in the butt to do all that stuff.
It is.
Right. And you went through it at some point, right? A couple of times.
Yep.
I was just thumbing through the book. And, you know, he references the 34.5 cents out of every disposable dollar several times in that book. And it got me thinking that people I don't know if they really realize what impact that would make if you recovered all of that interest, you know, starting at a, you know, point in time. All right, I'm starting IBC, so I'm going to start self-financing my life.
Well, and you're not going to be able to recover all of it right away, because you're probably not going to be able to pay for a house with cash right away. But yeah, what if you could recover 5%? What if you could recover 10%?
10%.
Like, holy cow. And you compare that to what you're earning in the market on your qualified investment plan. What about what you can like keep from going through your hands?
That's right. You keep it.
Yeah, you keep
it. Kiyosaki said, you know, it doesn't necessarily all the time doesn't matter how much money you make, but how much can you keep? And that involves savings and being efficient with taxes, of course. And this is a way to be more efficient through the tax code, because this isn't, you know, based on tax code, right? This is private citizens contracting with one another.
Right.
But over time you get the 5% interest recapture, 10% interest recapture, 15%. And over time, now you're meeting your own family's needs, and now you're meeting other people's needs. 34.5 cents out of every dollar. It's a pretty good rate of return.
Yeah, that's steep. And that's something we don't think about. How much am I losing? Not how much is my investment making. How much am I losing in other areas of my life? Where are all those holes in the bucket that need to be plugged? And what if I just plug at least one of them?
Right. Making the bankers rich.
Making the bankers rich, man. Absolutely. So, well, cool, man. I think that's pretty good. So the moral of the story, a little bit of friction is okay. It's actually a good thing. We don't look at that as, oh, it takes me a couple of days to access my capital. That's a good thing. And it rewards good behavior, promotes good behavior, and good decision making.
Yeah, no question. Dave and I are slow learners, I would say.
Possibly. Yeah. I try to learn from other people's mistakes, but the ones that really hit home are the ones you make yourself.
No question.
More than once.
As time goes on, I'm just more and more content just paying, high premium. I pay very high premium relative to my income. And yeah. I'm going to continue to do so. I'm going to continue to add as I can and encourage others to do so. Good episode.
Yeah. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed that. If you're driving right now, be safe. And we'll catch you back here next week. So until then, control your capital.
Or somebody else will. Hey, thanks for listening, everybody. If you'd like to have a conversation with us to see how you can become your own banker, or if you have any questions or topics you'd like us to tackle on a future episode, please send us an email to davidandpaul@theibcguys.com.
And subscribe and leave us a review if you're on Apple. Follow and leave us a 5-star review if you're on Spotify. And please share this with your friends. We'll see you next week.